This is 91.3 KUAF, bringing you NPR News for more than 32 years. And this is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, August 10th, 2017. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ahead this hour, Becca Martin Brown from the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette is with us a day earlier than usual as we move into the middle of August. She'll help us get ready for new seasons from Theater Squared, the University of Arkansas Fort Smith, Arkansas Public Theater in Rogers, and others. And later, we'll go back into our archives to remember Arky native Glenn Campbell. First, 10 years ago, the Fayetteville School Board voted to keep the school district a one high school district. The decision came down just a short time after Springdale opened its second high school, and Rogers was preparing to open its second high school. In those 10 years, the old Fayetteville High School was renovated and expanded, Bentonville built and opened its second high school, and Fort Smith briefly contemplated building a third high school. Now, Fayetteville is one of the largest school districts in the area to stick with just having one high school. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek spoke with the superintendent, who himself is still relatively new to the area, about that decision and how the district is preparing for the future as Northwest Arkansas continues to attract more and more people.
Fayetteville Superintendent Matthew Wentz says, so far, everything is on track in terms of the district's preparations for the future when the school board voted 4-3 to stay with one high school back in 2007.
Fayetteville is growing. The projected enrollment and the actual enrollment is actually aligned well.
The school district did a study in 2010 to forecast its enrollment from that year to 2019, as it was preparing to renovate and expand the high school. The study found that most of the migration into the district included elementary school-aged children, college students, and adults 25 to 39. It also found locally born 18 to 24-year-olds were leaving the district and younger families weren't moving in as quickly. That study also predicted the total enrollment would start a steady decline from about 2016 to 2021. To keep making sure the district is on track, Superintendent Wentz says last month they hired a new demographer to help write the next 10-year plan of projections. That data likely won't be available until this fall. And while Wentz says Northwest Arkansas itself is one of the fastest-growing regions in the country,
Fayetteville doesn't lead the pack. As a community, we're not Bentonville, we're not Rogers, and we're not Springdale.
For comparison, Wentz says his district is growing by about 150 to 200 students a year. The Bentonville School District is growing by about 500. Right now, Fayetteville High has an enrollment of about 2,000 students after bringing in the ninth graders in 2015. When Bentonville passed its millage in 2013 to build a second high school, Bentonville High had a population of more than 4,200 at a capacity of 3,700. And in Rogers and Springdale, currently both of the high schools in those two cities have more than 2,000 students each. Wentz says during his career, he's been a superintendent at an Iowa school district that went from having one high school to having two.
It's complicated. It's difficult. It can be very rewarding because the upside is that people are wanting to live in your community. And I've said for a long time, and having lived that life, I know a lot of people who love the second and third Walgreens, the second and third McDonald's and Starbucks. I don't know very many people who like the second and third school, especially when it's at the high school level, because that's just a change in your community. It can change values. It can change traditions.
That was part of the argument for keeping Fayetteville a one high school district back around 2007. Carol Witter says she was working for the district during that time.
Originally, when they started the discussion about two high schools versus one high school, it was probably 20 years ago.
Witter says she started teaching in the Fayetteville School District in 1979. The last 13 years of her career were spent at Fayetteville High as a special education teacher. She says she decided to retire in 2013, partially because the district chose to stay with one high school. The same year Witter retired, the renovations and expansion at Fayetteville High were halfway done.
It's very frustrating, and that's one of the reasons I retired early. I mean, I retired when I was 57 years old because I had my 28 years in.
Witter says she and a lot of other educators wanted a second high school when that conversation was being had, but she felt like they weren't being listened to.
I think what it boiled down to is athletics and the football team and a few other things like the AP classes. If they had two high schools, they would have to split up the football teams and the basketball teams, and that would disrupt the athletics.
When that debate was happening, published reports state school board members said Fayetteville High would have to move from a 7A to a 6A class in athletics if there was to be a second high school. The district may have also lost some advanced placement courses with small enrollment numbers. For Wendt, who was hired in 2016, that conversation is far behind the district. And the next conversation the district will be having is how to creatively deal with growth.
One agreement we do have in Fayetteville is that we're going to have one comprehensive high school, and then we're going to address enrollment increases, I hope, in a different way than just simply building more buildings. I believe we ought to have a system, and I hope that we're open to discussing it, where at the end of the junior year, seniors may very well have met the traditional requirements, and then we move those kids, still under the support of Fayetteville school system, we move those kids into different pathways.
Wendt says those pathways can include taking college courses at the University of Arkansas or Northwest Arkansas Community College, internships, apprenticeships, and volunteering.
If people agree with that assessment, think of what that does for our capacity at the high school. Rather than having 600, 700, 800 high school students in the senior class attending one facility, you have them throughout the community, if not throughout Northwest Arkansas, actually engaged in what they want to be engaged with. But yet we need to ensure they still have the connection. So what might that look like? Maybe 4 days out and 1 day at the high school with a teacher or a facilitator. I think that personalized learning plan for each kid is going to be just really incredible. I'm looking forward to it. I think we're on the brink of changing the way we do high school.
Carol Witter says she still has another issue with having one high school, and it's a problem she's had with the idea since it was debated years ago.
Like as a special ed teacher, I can tell you that the kids who get really good education in Fayetteville are the advanced placement kids and the kids that are athletes, the kids that are popular, the kids that excel, and then the kids that, you know, are less than fortunate get lost in the crowd. And a lot of kids fall between the cracks. So it doesn't make any sense to me, to have one big giant high school.
Superintendent Wendt acknowledges the high school population is large, but he says he's found the issue Witter describes doesn't have anything to do with the school's size.
High schools of 200, 300, 400, 500, kids are getting lost. So kids can get lost in a high school that's much, much smaller than a Fayetteville High. We know that this can happen, whether there's a high school of 500 or 2,500. That's a system issue. And that means we need to do a better job of personalizing high school experience.
And Wendt says he sees the school's large student population, and therefore its diversity, as a strength rather than a weakness.
There's a place for everyone. And so is it big? Well, yes, it's big. But the large component adds value because that means there's a place for everyone who attends. And we accept everybody.
It will be clear in a few months how many everybodies the high school can ideally accommodate once the demographer, hired last month, is done assessing the academic capacity of each school campus in the district. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Susanna Sitek.
And in the interest of full disclosure, Carol Witter, who you heard from in this story, is the mother of Katie Hendrickson, the host of Note with Katie Hendrickson on KUAF. And Superintendent Matthew Wendt says he also envisions a future in which the other schools in the area, like the new school in Haas Hall and Fayetteville Public Schools, work hand in hand to educate their students. And by the way, Fayetteville, Springdale, and Bentonville students all go back to school on the 14th. Rogers get 2 extra days of summer. They'll go back on the 16th.
The 113th Benton County Fair will run August 8th through the 12th at the Benton County Fairgrounds in Bentonville. It will feature a variety of family entertainment, including 4-H exhibits, junior livestock auction, fine arts, crafts exhibits, rides, and more. Admission is free. BentonCountyFairAR.org for more. 91.3 FM KUAF is supported by Fayetteville Animal Shelter and Services, which is supported by the City of Fayetteville and is dedicated to the welfare of animals and the people who associate with them. 444-3456 or Fayetteville Animal Services on Facebook for photos and information. Additional support provided by David Adams Fine Jewelry, offering design, creation, and repair of all jewelry in silver, gold, and platinum. All work performed in-house. Diamond and colored stone designs are on display at the downtown Fayetteville Square Gallery and online at davidadams.com.
Ahead on today's show, Glenn Campbell was a native Arkansan who scored number one hits, appeared in Oscar-winning movies, and had a hit television show. We'll hear again an Arkansongs edition dedicated to Glenn Campbell in the second half hour of today's Ozarks at Large.
This week on All Things Considered, the U.S. Army once used its own soldiers to experiment with mustard gas.
Felt like you were on fire, sure enough. And the guy started screaming and hollering and trying to break out.
NPR found that the government wasn't keeping promises to help those veterans. Now a new bill would give benefits to the few who are still alive. Listen to All Things Considered every afternoon.
All Things Considered every weekday afternoon from 3 to 6 here on 91.3 KUAF. You can also hear All Things Considered on Saturdays and Sundays at 4 each weekend day. This is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, August 10th, 2017. We're doing things just a bit different at the end of this week. No Michael Tilley tomorrow. No Becca Martin Brown from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette tomorrow. But she's here today. So, Becca, if you're here Thursday, you can take tomorrow off from the newspaper.
I can?
Try that out.
I'll try that out. See if it works.
Say Kyle said you could. Thanks for coming in a day early.
Well, and we're going to do something a little different since I'm here on a different day.
Yes.
All throughout the summer, in What's Up, we list everybody's season announcements.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas Public Theater, the Walton Arts Center, Theater Squared, University Theater. Well, we kind of brought them all together for today.
We are not calling this an end of summer session.
No, not quite.
Though it has.
But you can see it.
Yeah. It has hints of that.
Yes.
Okay.
So, you won't remember all this. But you will see previews every week in What's Up. And if you really want this piece of paper, email me.
Oh.
bmartin@nwadg.com, and I will send it to you.
That's a deal.
So.
And chances are you'll hear one or two shows that will really get you interested.
Oh, yeah. So the first one is Arkansas Public Theater, better known still to some of us as Rogers Little Theater.
Victory Theater in downtown Rogers.
This is season 32, which seems incredible since I can remember season where a baby theater. September 15th is the first show of the new season, and I'm so excited about this one, I could just do the time warp.
Okay, it's a Rocky Horror Picture
Rocky
Show.
Rocky Horror Show, except not the picture show. It's the theatrical version.
Rocky Horror Show.
You may remember it from 15 or 16 years ago when Ozark Stageworks still existed. It was one of the last shows produced by that company at the Walton Arts Center Star Theater.
Okay.
November is Every Day of Visitor. This is straight off of Broadway, set in a Jewish home for the aged in the Bronx, where the residents each play act somebody famous.
Oh, okay.
December is A Christmas Story. You know this one.
The
Red Rider BB
right.
Gun. February is The Producers.
Oh, fun.
Love that show. The end of March to the 8th of April is Living on Love. It's a farce about an opera diva who discovers that her larger-than-life maestro husband has become enamored with the lovely young lady hired to ghostwrite his autobiography, and she hires a handsome young scribe of her own. Very traditional farce. May is Anne, an intimate, no-holds-barred portrait of Ann Richards, the legendary governor of Texas.
Oh, wow.
June is an act of God. After many millennium and in just 90 minutes, God answers some of the deepest questions that have plagued mankind.
Okay.
I've got a few. And the summer musical next year is Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Seems weird to be talking about that since the current musical.
You're right. They're just wrapping up Wedding Singer. Theater Squared, it's season 12. That doesn't seem possible either.
No.
And they open in the end of August with Fun Home. When her father dies unexpectedly, graphic novelist Allison dives deep into her past to tell the story of the volatile, brilliant, one-of-a-kind man whose temperament and secrets defined her family.
Should just tell you, too, the T2 productions again this year will be in
the Nadine Baum Studios.
Nadine Baum Studios. Eventually, not that long from now, they'll be in their brand new
home. How cool will that be? October is The Champion, inspired by true events in the life of Nina Simone.
Oh, that's going to be so good.
End of November through December, It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play. Love those.
And then that has become something of a tradition now of doing a holiday-themed show mm-hmm. at the holidays.
End of January through the middle of February is The Humans by Stephen Karam. After a sleepless night, Mr. Blake brings his family to his daughter's new apartment to celebrate Thanksgiving. And mysterious things start to go bump in the night. Middle of March through the 1st of April is Viet Gong. This was a new play.
That developed?
Yes, that developed here. It's the classic boy meets girl, except this boy and girl are refugees from the Vietnam War, settled at Fort Chaffee.
Oh, I am excited about this.
And then the end of April through May is The Hound of the Baskervilles.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Adapted by Stephen Canny and John Nicholson, and I love that show.
All right.
All right, University Theater. This is, after Ashley Cohey and I looked and looked to find the number, the 67th season for University Theater. First show starting September 29th is The Glass Menagerie.
Yes, Tennessee Williams. Not the
sad.
Feel-good production of the year,
no.
But really good.
November, oh, such excitement, November, Avenue Q, which you may, if you don't know Avenue Q.
Oh, I think most people do.
You think they
do?
Well,
because it's been around for a while.
Yeah.
It's
just, some things come out of those puppets' mouths that you never expected.
Right. And what Michael J. Rio, the department chair, tells me is this is closest to the original incarnation. It's gone through some changes as it's gotten more popular and bigger. So
cool. February is Life is a Dream. It's a play that dates to 1635. Wrestles with the relationship of free will and fate.
All right.
And in April, Archetype, a new project that will feature all new material written by the head of the MFA Writing Department, John Walsh, and MFA Playwriting students Megan McHenry and Paul McInnes.
So it's not just theater that you get around here. You get new theater.
You get lots of new theater. The Faulkner Center.
Also on campus.
We probably have listeners who have never been to the Faulkner Center.
Well, it's only been open a couple of years.
It has. It opened in September of 2015. This used to be the museum.
Right.
Then it used to be Silas Hunt Hall.
Yes.
Now it's the Faulkner Center, and it is an amazing performance venue. And this year they have expanded to 6 shows. September 8th is Sing America with the Singing Men of Arkansas. November 9th, Jordanian musical artist Farah Sarah.
I'm really looking forward to this. Are you familiar with
her
music?
Not at all.
Really, really good.
Okay. December 9th, it's their tradition, the screening of Elf for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
January 19th, Ozark Old Time, New Time. With Still on the Hill, the Ozark Highballers, and caller Steve Green.
That's going to be a lot
of
fun.
It's going to be a blast. March 3rd, a big time band, the Steel Drivers.
Grammy winners.
Touring on the heels of their 5th album, The Muscle Shoals Recordings. And May 5th, The Music of Woody Guthrie, featuring Randy Nugent.
Right.
This will be so cool.
also, throughout the year, there are other performances by the UA Symphony and ensembles
and
like
choirs
that.
And choirs and
right.
so
Not
forth.
Not part of the technically the season, right. but will take place in Faulkner Arts Center.
And then there's the University of Arkansas at Fort Smith Season of Entertainment. This is 37 for them.
Here's what's great about that. You can always remember what number of season it is because they just put it in the season title.
Yes, they
season of Entertainment 37.
Here's the thing that I think we forget. 67 years, 30-some years, 12 years. It's not like Northwest Arkansas was born yesterday,
right.
artistically speaking. September 7th, Branford Marsalis. October 4th is their UAFS Symphonic Band. October 10th, their UAFS Chorale. October 19th through the 24th is their theater production for the fall, and I don't know what that is yet. October 30th, Gentry, the Gentleman Trio. November 8th, Cirque Mechanics, Pedal Punks.
Cirque, so I'm yes. assuming acrobatics and
yes.
whatnot.
Let's see. November 16th is their jazz concert. November 26th, Martina McBride Christmas concert. Mm-hmm. February 15th through the 20th is their second UAFS production. Their stuff is amazing. Bob Stevenson?
Well, Bob Stevenson has been on the forefront of a lot of Cirque-esque sort of stuff. Movement
yes.
and yeah.
And
hasn't, correct me if I'm wrong, but some of his productions have picked up and become nationally produced, right?
I don't know if
okay.
I don't know if that's true, but they've made it a long way in the Kennedy Center mm-hmm. performing arts competitions. So April 23rd, Cinderella touring production. May 1st, a grand night for singing. Most of these productions happen at the ArcBest Corp Performing Arts Center, and you can find out more about those at 788-7300. The Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, Season 7 already.
Season 7, and continuing
and
a tradition.
Of how many years? 50-some?
Yeah.
October 14th is Masterworks 1, Tchaikovsky.
Mm-hmm.
December 16th, a very Sona Christmas. December 17th, The Snowman, a family concert.
That's becoming a tradition for them now.
Yes, it is. And so fun. January 27th, Masterworks 2, Mozart and Mendelssohn.
Mm-hmm.
March 10th, Pops with the Fayetteville Jazz Collective.
Oh, wow.
And May 5th, Masterworks 3, La Boheme.
And this year, it's a more traditional schedule because remember, last year they had to truncate it a bit because of the work at
right.
the venue.
And this all happens at the Walton Arts Center. Season tickets start at $125.
Which is pretty inexpensive.
Fort Smith Symphony, this is the 21st season with John Jeter.
Right.
Have no idea how many years it is for the Symphony.
Quite a few. Quite a few.
The theme this year is Frontiers.
Yeah, and the middle of the season will feature the start of the bicentennial celebration for the entire city.
Right. September 10th is an evening with pianist Jeremy Dank, Shostakovich, and Beethoven.
And he plays with Joshua Bell all the time. Joshua Bell, who started the season last year. They're collaborators.
October 21st, The Great Ladies of Swing with Dee Daniels.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
December 2nd, an epic Christmas with things like Sleigh Ride, Angels We Have Heard on High, and Ave Maria.
You cannot say you have no entertainment at Christmas time around here.
No.
Every one of these seasons, I think, has had something.
January 20th, Romantic Echoes, Bartok, Saint-Saëns, and Schumann.
Mm-hmm.
April 21st is when the Bicentennial Celebration starts, and they're doing this cool thing. They've brought in two regional bands, the Crumbs and the Ben Miller Band, to do Fort Smith heritage songs.
Yeah.
May 12th is Homegrown Greatest, the music of Florence Price.
Florence Price, who was an Arkansas native, and that's going to feature the first ever performance of one of her symphonies.
And it will be recorded.
Yes, by Naxos.
So that's cool.
Naxos, yes.
And all this happens at the ArcBest Corp Performing Arts Center. Season tickets start at $100. And then there's the Walton Arts Center, where single tickets went on sale Monday.
And just a slew.
We're just going to fly through a little bit of it. The American Music Series starts September 19th with Taj Mahal and Keb Mo. And also includes Leanne Rimes and the Charlie Daniels Band
in
later
series.
In the year.
Yeah.
West Street Live, Hot Club of Cowtown, Joe Ely Acoustic.
Ely.
Thank you.
Yes, Joe
he
Ely.
He does every time I get it wrong.
Joe Ely, but he's going to be fantastic.
The Susan Werner Trio, An Evening with Peter Yarrow. You might know who he is.
Peter Paul and Mary.
The 10x10 series is their $10 bargain amazing.
And this is world-class entertainment that maybe often is not household name.
Right.
But from around the world.
And then again, this year, we've got Ballet Arkansas, Bella Fleck and Brooklyn Rider.
Okay. Grammy-winning household name.
Yeah. The Triplets of Belleville Cine Concert. Mm-hmm. Pasadena Roof Orchestra, Aquila Theater, which has done performances at the Walton Arts Center, I think as long as it's been the Walton Arts Center.
Just about.
Doing Sense and Sensibility. The Dublin Guitar Quartet and the Artisphere Festival Orchestra 10x10 concert.
All of those are 10 bucks.
Yeah.
Just $10.
The Starlight Jazz Club.
This is, again, at Walton Arts Center.
With people like the Hunter Tones. Mm-hmm. Laugh Out Loud at WAC with David Sedaris. And then on October 30th and 31st, the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
So the actual film.
Robert Earl Keen.
Uh-huh.
The one I'm looking forward to is called Disenchanted. Happens in March. And it's the princess's not so happily ever after. Mm.
Sort of like the VH1 Behind the Music sort of.
Yeah. Okay. Or the second act of Into the Woods.
Right.
Coca-Cola Night Out series includes Moments Chance.
A dance troupe who's been around for a long time.
The Kimberly Clark Family Fun series includes things like Danu and martial artists from the People's Republic of China. It's just a ridiculous amount of stuff.
And as you said, the single tickets have just gone on sale within the last week.
So, and there's two offerings that are not part of any season.
Okay.
The Voice Jam competition in April, and next June, the Artisphere Festival Orchestra finale.
All right.
So, and there will be more. I still don't have the season for the Alma Performing Arts Center. I still don't have the season for the Van Buren Performing Arts Center. I still don't have the season for the Arkansas Philharmonic. We're not done yet.
And then, of course, as the temperatures warm back up in spring of 2018, the Amp will get cranking again.
Yes.
And there's, of course, the Bentonville Film Festival and all these things.
And Fort Smith Little Theater, instead of being on a school year calendar, is on
An annual
calendar. So sometime around Christmas, we'll get their season announcement for 2018.
And I'm sure there's a few other seasons we just haven't considered yet. Hey, send us the stuff. We'll get to you.
Absolutely. But if you're still hungry after this,
well,
wow.
Yeah. Becca Martin Brown is the features editor of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. One time I can say this. Look for the What's Up tab tomorrow.
Yes. Wonderful.
All right. And we're back to normalish next week.
We'll never be normalish.
Right. Good point. Thanks, Becca.
This week on Morning Edition, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson sends a message to Pyongyang.
The best signal that North Korea could give us that they're prepared to talk would be to stop these missile launches.
We'll follow along as Tillerson spends the week shoring up U.S. support in Asia. Listen every weekday morning to Morning Edition.
Morning Edition, every weekday morning from 5 to 9 on 91.3 KUAF.
It's the Community Spotlight on KUAF. My name's Pete Hartman. We're in the Nancy Blair Operations Studio today with Morgan Scholes. She's Communication Manager for Community Clinic. Morgan, thanks for coming over.
Pete, thanks so much for having me.
As we were just talking, you live in Siloam, but work at the Springdale Administrative Offices of Community Clinic.
Yep. So I am new to Community Clinic. I've been there for just a few months, but I've been in Siloam Springs since 2010. Okay. And so I consider Northwest Arkansas my home.
Coming up August 19th in Siloam is the 12th annual Siloam Springs fundraiser for Community Clinic. 12 years of this taking place in Siloam?
That's right. So actually, Community Clinic has 14 different clinic locations in Northwest Arkansas. However, only one of them has an annual fundraiser event, and that's the Siloam Springs. Siloam Springs Clinic has a really unique history and story in that it actually started back in 2000 just sort of as a branch of a St. Francis Clinic in Little Rock. Okay. And it was mostly volunteer-based, just a group of people wanting to meet the needs of the Siloam Springs community. And that sort of became more healthcare-oriented, but again, it was mostly volunteer-based. In 2009, that organization, that small nonprofit, became a part of Community Clinic, so the broader network.
Again, August 19th, 6 p.m. at the Riverside Entertainment Center. What can participants be looking forward to?
Well, Pete, the theme this year is a summer masquerade. So you are welcome to bring your own masquerade mask. I know we all have several that have just been dying for an occasion. Or you can purchase one at the event. It's cocktail attire. So we're going to have a lovely evening planned of live music, fresh Creole fare from Café Rue d'Orleans.
Oh, man.
Some local craft wine and beers to offer, and live and silent auctions. And then participants will get to hear from a few of the members of the Siloam Springs Clinic, a few of the providers there, just to hear about the work that we've been doing and continue to do and celebrate the past, present, and future of providing quality, comprehensive health care to all in Siloam Springs.
If someone wants to get the exact location, more information, or purchase tickets, what's the best way?
The best way to do that is folks can shoot me an email at mscholes@communityclinicnwa.org. Or visit our Facebook page where there's all sorts of ticket information as well as a link to where you can purchase tickets online.
The Community Spotlight on KUAF, where local matters.
Glenn Campbell died this week. He scored big hits in three different decades on both the country and pop charts, hosted a top 15 television show on CBS, and starred in movies including True Grit with John Wayne. During the last years of his life, he was very candid about the development of Alzheimer's and recorded one more critically acclaimed album. For this week's Thursday Archive, we hear again an Arkansong's tribute to Glenn Campbell.
From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansong's.
Ladies and gentlemen, Glenn Campbell!
Glenn Campbell was born April 22, 1936, in Billstown in Pike County. Hugely successful as a solo hitmaker, he'd first established himself as a studio go-to man. By the time his television show debuted on CBS, Campbell had enjoyed a fast ride from anonymity to the top in just a couple of years. The Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour was first seen on TV in mid-1969. The same year, Campbell starred with John Wayne in the film adaptation of True Grit, the novel by Union County native and Little Rock resident Charles Portis. Campbell also performed the movie's title theme, and Wayne would appear on The Good Time Hour.
Power of television was really working for me because I could spread more artists I knew. I didn't have anybody on the show because they were country, rock, or pop, or rock. I had them on the show because they had talent.
The Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour debuted May 21st, 1969. As befitting TV variety programs of the era, strange bedfellows appeared on the Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour, and that went beyond comedy sketches involving the Smothers Brothers and Hippopotamus. But that happened as well. Heard here is Campbell duetting with Linda Ronstadt on the James Taylor hit of the day, Carolina on My Mind. Opening this week's program is Campbell's version of the Stevie Wonder song, For Once in My Life. Heard next is Campbell with Cher, singing Bob Dylan.
You were on the show the last time?
Yeah.
There was a song that I wanted to do with you?
Yeah.
Remember what it was?
All I really want to do is baby be friends with you. Okay.
The Smothers Brothers had more than a passing interest in the Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour. Campbell had hosted several episodes of the Summer Smothers Brothers show, and that was how he came to be considered for his own TV program. He recalled one skit where he was to refer to then-California Governor Ronald Reagan as a known heterosexual, but looked up the word in the dictionary before he would say the line. Writers on that show included Steve Martin, Rob Reiner, and McLean Stevenson. The Good Time Hour was a Smothers Brothers production, and some of the writers worked on Campbell's show. But despite its high ratings, the Smothers Brothers show got canceled for its anti-war and anti-Nixon sentiments. The writing team won Emmys after that show's cancellation. Campbell's show would soldier on another year.
One day, little girl,
In spite of Campbell's professed desire for musical diversity on the Glen Campbell Good Time Hour, he's also noted that he attempted to showcase country stars of the time, only to be thwarted by CBS network executives. As a result, Campbell, quote, wound up singing duets with nice people who were fine actors but not professional vocalists, unquote. Guest stars on the Good Time Hour included Flip Wilson, Andy Griffith, Jonathan Winters, and many more. Campbell was making multiple $1,000s a week for the Good Time Hour. The first shows were in part sponsored by McDonald's, and the restaurant's Big Mac sandwich was introduced to America during the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, the fantastic Johnny Cash!
One country artist Glen Campbell did land as a guest on his Good Time Hour with fellow Arkansaser Johnny Cash. Cash's own TV musical variety show debuted on ABC the same year and would last through 1971. 5 years later, Cash would have another television show on CBS, the network that had aired the Good Time Hour. The Glen Campbell Good Time Hour's own TV network run lasted for 3 years.
By the time I get to Phoenix.
Of course, Glen Campbell performed his own songs on his TV Good Time Hour as well. Gentle on My Mind, Galveston, and Wichita Lineman got the television boost among many others, including By the Time I Get to Phoenix.
What a great song. It made me so homesick that I got in my 42 Mercury, I think it was, and drove back to Arkansas to visit some folks.
Campbell's hit By the Time I Get to Phoenix helped establish him as a solo star to be reckoned with on any chart. With the network television show, movies, and hits as a country and pop singer, Campbell was at the top of his game. But in a few years, Campbell said he barely knew or cared when his television show got canceled. From Glen Campbell, here in its entirety is True Grit, the title theme from the film True Grit. It's adapted from the book by fellow South Arkansas native Charles Portis and performed on Campbell's CBS television show, The Glen Campbell Good Time Hour.
One day, little girl, the sadness will leave your face as soon as you've won your fight to get justice done. Someday, little girl, you'll wonder what life's about, but others have known few battles are won alone, so you'll look around to find someone who's kind, someone who is fearless like you. The pain of it will ease a bit when you find a man with true grit. One day you will rise and you won't believe your eyes. You'll wake up and see a world that is fine and free, though summer seems far. Find the sun one day. Though summer seems far, find the sun one day.
Oh, yeah! A couple of them. Thank you. Oh.
Glen Campbell of Billstown in Pike County with the title theme from the film True Grit, adapted from the book by fellow Arkansaser Charles Portis. Campbell is performing on his television show, The Glen Campbell Good Time Hour. It's another song of Arkansas. From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs.
Arkansongs is a production of FM 89 and Experiment Station Studios. Associate producer is Carrie DeVore. For more information or to subscribe to the podcast, visit arkansongs.org.
Walton Arts Center proudly presents a new season of arts and entertainment for Northwest Arkansas. Tickets for the 2017-18 season, including Broadway, music, comedy, family entertainment, and the 10x10 Arts Series, on sale now.
Tickets and information available at waltonartscenter.org or 443-5600. The Fayetteville Farmers Market celebrates National Farmers Market Week through Sunday, honoring farmers in our nation's food system. The Fayetteville Market is open on the downtown Fayetteville Square Saturdays, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and Tuesday and Thursday from 7 a.m. until 1 p.m., with giveaways and other activities throughout the week. Know your farmer, know your food. FayettevilleFarmersMarket.org.
The Grand Prairie Irrigation Project is nearly two decades old. It would shift the agricultural water supply in the eastern half of Arkansas from aquifers to surface water, the White River specifically. But now the funding's run dry. And as Ann Kenda with Arkansas Public Media reports, that's discouraged friends of the project and vindicated foes who say it's all too expensive and complicated anyway.
I'm glad the mosquitoes weren't too bad today. Typically they are. Early in the morning, late in the afternoon, they will carry you off.
Mosquitoes are a fact of life on the farm, and so is water.
We were blessed with about an inch of rain. I guess it was Sunday. But the rain was sporadic.
On John Larkin's farm in Hazen, he shows his tailwater recovery ditches.
Gravity flows back into these ditches, and there's one below this field down here. You can see the tall pile of dirt. The water flows back into it naturally. We pick it up. We reuse it. I say I use water until it's not wet anymore.
But despite their conservation efforts, local farmers say they need the Grand Prairie Irrigation Project, 17 years in the making now, to be completed.
Right now, we're waiting for additional funding. We're fully funded on the pump station and the reservoir. We're going to have the entire project in place on everything except the canal and the pipeline that moves the water out to the farms.
At the pump station superstructure in Duval's Bluff, White River Irrigation District Director Dennis Carman describes the pumps that will allow close to 900 farms to water their crops with the White River.
So the project overall is intended to convert from groundwater use as the primary source of water to surface water use as the replacement. We are running out of water. It has been proven and documented.
The alluvial aquifer that was the region's primary source for ag water ran dry last year. Carmen says it was almost on cue for exactly what was predicted many years ago. The Grand Prairie Project's price tag has grown over the years and is now estimated at $481 million, a very controversial $481 million.
Well, for one, there are cheaper and less destructive alternatives.
That's Josh Sewell, a senior policy analyst with Washington, D.C.-based Taxpayers for Common Sense, which once had Grand Prairie on its list of the most wasteful projects.
Some of those solutions are on-farm storage of water, increased water efficiency, or just using less water-intensive crops. So we're concerned that this is an attempt to use federal tax dollars to subsidize the business choices and lifestyle choices of a few farmers.
But many farmers are choosing conservation, as Sewell suggests. At his farm in Hazen, Dan Hooks estimates that he's about 80% self-sufficient for water. But not every farm can do that.
You see our reservoirs and the water capture, tailwater recoveries, and surface water systems we've put in to utilize to stop using the groundwater. That's all well and good, and it'll take care of part of the rice acres, but it's not going to take care of the entire rice industry here as we know it today.
Many years ago, attorney David Carruth led an organized group to oppose the Grand Prairie Project. Today, he says he still has many of the same concerns about damage to the White River.
If the pump regime would be more sensitive to the ecological impact, then probably we could share the river. But agriculture doesn't want to do that. It says we need water when we need water.
After 17 years of controversy, Dennis Carman says the project is still the right thing to do for the environment and the economy.
And if you look around at the nation, we're not the only ones that are experiencing these problems, but we are trying to take care of it ourselves and move forward.
The White River Irrigation District is seeking a private-public partnership to get the project finished. It would be unusual in this case, but Carmen says there's been interest. He says the new availability of water, perhaps the most precious of resources, will initially benefit eastern Arkansas's farmers, but ultimately everyone. In Prairie County, I'm Ann Kenda with Arkansas Public Media.
Arkansas Public Media is a journalism cooperative funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and public radio stations in Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, and this is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, August 10th, 2017. I'm Kyle Kellums. The absolutely free lecture, Eclipses, Science and Safety, will be presented by Caitlin Ahrens, the Pluto Manager, August 15th, that's Tuesday night, at 6 p.m. at the Fayetteville Public Library. Caitlin is from the University of Arkansas Center for Space and Planetary Science, and she'll discuss the science surrounding eclipses and share tips on how to safely enjoy the upcoming solar eclipse that will take place Monday, August 21st. Don't forget, you can catch the weekly segment Scratching the Surface with Caitlin Ahrens tomorrow and every Friday at 2:04 p.m. inside Science Friday on 91.3 KUAF. And you can hear Scratching the Surface every Sunday morning during Weekend Ozarks at Large, Sunday mornings from 9 to 10 on 91.3 KUAF. The Rogers Public Library will hold an event they're calling a Geek Event. This takes place August 19th. It's an all-day program highlighting library services, technology, and community organizations that provide various services to Northwest Arkansas region, including information on tutoring services, 3D printing, local authors, and after-school activities. For more, rogerspubliclibrary.org. The Rogers Historical Museum will once again be hosting the Sugar Creek Model Railroad and Historical Society's Model Railroad Show August 26th during Frisco Festival in downtown Rogers. This free event will feature several model railroad displays in the various gauges and in various size displays. If you'd like more information, 621-1154, you can go online as well to rogershistoricalmuseum.org. And the Fort Smith Museum of History will host its annual ice cream social September 3rd from 2 until 4 that afternoon. You can join your neighbors in the old-fashioned soda fountain for an end-of-summer tradition. More information obtained at fortsmithmuseum.org, or you can pick up an old-fashioned phone and call 783-3244.
Teachers face an uphill struggle from low pay and large classes to a lack of autonomy.
We've just endured more and more cuts, so we're seeing a lack of resources at unprecedented levels.
And how high teacher turnover and low morale affects our kids.
You know, what does it mean in a school if a fifth to a quarter of the full-time teachers leave every school year?
Plus, the consequences for the country of an unequal education.
Inequality is the Achilles heel in American education, and that will, if not corrected, haunt this country for many decades to come.
That special hour from With Good Reason this Sunday at 3 p.m. on 91.3 KUAF.
And tomorrow on Ozarks at Large, we get ready for the school year with a pair of conversations with University of Arkansas administrators and educators preparing for special classes in the fall semester. Charles Robinson, the UA Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs and a history professor, will discuss his upcoming Honors College seminar on race.
I think too many people talk about this in the vacuum of the now, the contemporary time. And you have to go back. And when you go back and you examine it, it doesn't seem all that odd. It seems pretty predictable and consistent with the way we've operated.
And Matt Waller, the dean of the Sam M. Walton Business College at the U of A, will talk about his upcoming signature seminar class about business innovation in Arkansas.
There is so much going on here in terms of innovation. And the innovation that's occurred here has affected not only, you know, the retail and consumer products and supply chain industries, but it's affected many other industries throughout the world. And that's something I've paid attention to over the past 24 years.
Two conversations from earlier this year about classes offered to Honors College students at the University of Arkansas. That and more on tomorrow's Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 p.m. on 91.3 KUAF.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. 91.3 KUAF is supported by Highlands Oncology Group, helping patients fight the battle every day with a team of cancer specialists in both Benton and Washington counties. Services include radiation, CLIA-certified labs, a multidisciplinary lung clinic, and a lung cancer screening program. HighlandsOncologyGroup.com.
This reminder that 2 weeks from tomorrow, the annual Ozarks at Large live Roots radio broadcast from the Walker Community Room at the Fayetteville Public Library. Many of the folks that will be on the main stage Friday for the Fayetteville Roots Festival, free and live from noon to 2 at the library. It's live on Ozarks at Large from noon to 2, but you can come join us and be just, you know, feet away from many of the bands that will be playing at the Roots Festival. See you there. Elephant Revival and others will, in just a few days, tell you the entire or most of the lineup that we're going to have for that Friday show. Noon to 2 at the Fayetteville Public Library. See you there. Remember, seating is limited. Did I mention it's free? Well, it is free. A service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, Pineville, Missouri. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for spending part of your Thursday with us. We're going to end with music from Rochelle Bradshaw and Hypnotion. They will be at the Smoke and Barrel Saturday night. Music begins at 10. This is a performance that we recorded inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio a couple of years ago, their version of Redemption Song. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great rest of your Thursday.
From the bottomless pit, but my hands were made strong by the hands of the Almighty. We forward in this generation. Triumphantly, won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? They're all I ever had. Redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear from atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Ooh, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. So won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs. Won't you help to sing songs of freedom? They're all I ever had. Redemption songs. Redemption songs. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah. Whoa. Stop.